Every serious preparedness plan starts with one honest question: what happens when the tap runs dry? For most households, water is invisible. It flows on demand, and nobody thinks twice about it. That is exactly what makes it dangerous to overlook. The moment normal infrastructure fails, whether from a storm, a grid problem, or contamination, water shifts from a background utility to the single resource your survival depends on most. This article takes a command center view of water readiness. Rather than diving into one tactic, it maps the whole problem so you can see how the pieces fit together. You will learn why water deserves to be the first thing you solve, how much your household truly relies on it each day, and how quickly a working supply can turn into a crisis. From there, we introduce the three pillars of water readiness: sourcing, purifying, and storing, and show how they work as one connected system across the before, during, and after phases of any emergency. Think of this as your starting map. Once you understand the full picture, the deeper pillar articles will guide you into the hands-on details. Why water is the first priority you solve. Start with the survival arithmetic. A person can go weeks without food, but only about 3 days without water before the body begins to shut down. That gap is not meant to scare you. It is meant to focus you. When you understand how short that window really is, it becomes clear why water sits at the top of every preparedness list. Nearly every other scenario you plan for, from a power outage to a natural disaster, eventually circles back to whether your household has safe water to drink. How much water your household really uses? Most people underestimate their daily water needs because the tap hides the true volume. When you add it all up, the numbers grow fast. A common planning guideline is at least 1 gallon per person per day just for drinking and basic needs. But that figure is a bare minimum. Once you account for cooking, cleaning dishes, brushing teeth, washing hands, and staying clean, realistic household use climbs well beyond that. Consider a family of four. Drinking water alone might be 4 gallons a day. Add cooking and you are looking at more. Add basic hygiene, which keeps illness away during an emergency, and the daily total can easily reach several times the drinking minimum. Over a week, that becomes dozens of gallons. Over a longer event, the demand becomes something you cannot ignore. Understanding this volume is the first step, because it tells you exactly how much you need to secure. When normal supply fails, municipal water systems depend on electricity, pumps, treatment plants, and pressurized pipes. When any of those links break, the water stops or becomes unsafe. A boil water notice, a broken main, or a treatment failure can happen with little warning. Households on well water face a similar problem. Most wells rely on electric pumps, so a power outage can leave a well household without water even though the water is right below their feet. This is how an afterthought becomes a crisis. One day water flows freely. The next, the pressure drops or the color changes, and suddenly every family in the area is competing for the same bottled supply at the store. The households that planned ahead do not join that rush. They already understand what is at stake and have a system in place. That is why water is the first priority you solve. Everything else in your preparedness plan stands on this foundation. Once water is handled, you can build outward with confidence. The rest of this article introduces the three-pillar system that makes that possible. Sourcing and collecting water when the tap stops. The first pillar answers a simple question: where does water come from once your normal supply is gone? No stored reserve lasts forever. During a prolonged emergency, the households that thrive are the ones that can replenish what they use. That is the job of sourcing and collection. It is the pillar that keeps your supply from simply running out. Rainwater capture. Rain is one of the most reliable and accessible sources available to almost any household. A roof and a gutter system already function as a large collection surface. With the right setup, that runoff can be directed into barrels or larger containers instead of draining away. Rainwater is often cleaner than surface water, though it still needs treatment before drinking, especially in areas where acid rain or airborne pollution is a concern. The point here is that rain gives you a renewable source that arrives on its own schedule, and capturing it turns a passing storm into a refill for your reserves. Natural bodies of water. Streams, rivers, lakes, and ponds are the classic backup sources, and for good reason. If you live near flowing or standing water, you have access to a volume that a single storm cannot match. Flowing water is generally preferable to stagnant water, but no natural source should be trusted as is. These bodies can carry bacteria, parasites, chemical runoff, and other contaminants. Knowing what natural sources exist near your home, and how far away they are, is part of building a complete plan before you ever need them. Opportunistic and improvised methods. Beyond rain and natural bodies, there are other ways to gather water when supplies are tight. These include collecting from within your own home, capturing condensation and dew, and other improvised techniques that can add gallons during a lean stretch. On their own, they rarely replace a primary source, but together they can extend your supply and buy valuable time. This overview is meant to orient you, not to teach every technique. Collection is a deep skill with real trade-offs, and doing it safely takes more detail than one section can hold. Our dedicated collecting article breaks down each method, its equipment, and its best uses. Make that your next step once you understand the role sourcing plays in the larger system, purifying water to make it safe to drink. Finding water is only half the battle. The second pillar, purification/post/water purification, is the protective layer that stands between a source and your household's health. Water that looks clear can still carry threats you cannot see, and drinking it can cause the exact illness you can least afford during an emergency. Why found and stored water cannot be trusted as is? Almost any water you source outside your normal supply should be treated as suspect. Streams and ponds can carry bacteria, viruses, and parasites that cause severe stomach illness. Runoff can pick up chemicals, fuel, or pollution. Even rainwater, which starts relatively clean, can gather contaminants from your roof, gutters, or the air, including acid and airborne particles in some regions. Stored water can also degrade over time or become contaminated if containers are not kept properly. Getting sick during a crisis is especially dangerous. Illness increases the amount of water your body needs at the very moment clean water is hardest to get. It can also spread through a household quickly. Purification exists to break that cycle by turning questionable water into safe water. The broad families of treatment. There are three main families of purification approaches, and most complete plans use more than one. Boiling is the oldest and most dependable way to kill living organisms, though it needs fuel and does not remove chemicals. Filtration physically strains out particles and many pathogens, and different filters handle different threats. Chemical treatment, such as certain tablets or drops, can disinfect water when boiling or filtering is not practical. Each method has strengths and limits, which is why relying on a single tool is a weak plan. The goal here is only to establish the concept, not to walk through every technique or its trade-offs. Purification is where small mistakes carry real consequences, so it deserves careful study. Our dedicated purification article covers the full breakdown of methods, what each one handles, and how to combine them for reliable results. Read it once you are ready to move from understanding the pillar to building your treatment plan, storing a reliable reserve before a crisis hits. The third pillar is the one you can act on right now, before anything goes wrong. Storage is the reserve your household draws on first, and it is the pillar that buys time. When the tap stops, a solid stored supply means you do not have to source or purify on day one. You have breathing room to think clearly, assess the situation, and act with a plan instead of panic. How much to store? A widely used starting guideline is to store at least 1 gallon per person per day, with a common goal of a 2-week supply. For a family of four, that is around 56 gallons at the minimum. Remember the earlier point about real household needs, though. If you want water for cooking and hygiene as well as drinking, aim higher. Storing more than the minimum is one of the simplest ways to strengthen your readiness. Rotation and safe containment. Stored water is not something you set and forget. It should be kept in clean, food-safe containers made for water storage, sealed tight, and kept away from heat, sunlight, and chemicals. Water can pick up flavors and grow contaminants if it is stored poorly. A simple rotation habit, where you use and refresh your supply on a regular schedule, keeps your reserve fresh and dependable. Labeling containers with dates makes this easy to track. How the three pillars work as a system. Here is where the whole picture comes together. Storage buys time. Collection replenishes what you use. Purification protects your health. No single pillar is enough on its own. A large stored supply still runs out. A great collection setup means little if you cannot make the water safe. Purification tools are useless with no source to treat. A complete plan spans all three. These pillars also map neatly onto the phases of an emergency. Before a crisis, you store water and plan your sources. During the event, you source new water and ration what you have. After the event, you work to restore a safe, steady supply and rebuild your reserves. Seeing water readiness this way keeps you from leaning on one tactic and getting caught short. Storage is the natural starting point because you can do it today. Our dedicated storage article covers containers, quantities, and rotation in full detail. Pair it with the collecting and purification articles, and you will have every piece of the system in hand. Conclusion: water is the resource your survival depends on first and most. Once you see how much your household truly uses, and how fast normal supply can fail, the reason to act becomes clear. The three pillars work together as one system. Storage buys you time, collection keeps you supplied, and purification keeps you healthy. Start with storage, since you can do it today, then build out your sourcing and treatment plans from there. Use the dedicated pillar articles as your next steps. You do not have to solve everything at once. Take it one pillar at a time, and you will move from simply staying educated to being genuinely ready for whatever comes.